This is the Faith Ventures Podcast, a project of the Libertarian Christian Institute, telling stories of Christians doing business for the glory of God. If you appreciate this program, support the nonprofit work of LCI by donating at libertarianchristians.com/donate. And if you'd like to share your story, contact us at podcast@libertarianchristians.com. Welcome back to Faith Ventures. I'm Dr. Norman Horn, and with me today, I am joined by Arturo Del Rio. Arturo is a partner and chief mission outreach officer for Pro-Life Payments, and also recently licensed in ministry with the Millennium Bible Institute. Pro-Life Payments is a really interesting fintech company. Arturo is going to tell us all about it and how he got started in this industry and a whole lot more. So Arturo, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Big fan of your stuff.
Well, thank you.
We love you guys.
Oh, that's so kind. Well, we've been excited to learn more about you guys and get a little involved, and hopefully we will continue this relationship for a long time. So I really appreciate you and what you do as well. So let's start off by talking about, how did Arturo Del Rio become the Arturo of today? Can you describe a little bit about your career journey and how you kind of got to where you are now and some of those big highlights along the way?
Sure. So I think I was born an entrepreneur. You know, I remember during Catholic school, they had a little candy drive going on, and I realized that it was a great way to come up with cash, and they were charging $2, and I could get the candy bars for 50 cents. So I started my own candy sales operation, which the nuns didn't appreciate, let me tell you. But, you know, literally, I've always had this kind of weird combination of art and business in my body. Half my family, my father and his side of the family are from Spain. My mother's side are American Italians from New Jersey. And my American family, they're all educators and artists, right? My grandfather was a historian. He was a Bible scholar. He dealt in literally read ancient Greek and Latin, Aramaic and Hebrew. So I learned the Bible and history in a really cool way, you know. And then my Spanish side, we're all business folks. So I've kind of always been in the middle. So I started really getting into business when I was about 13 or 14. I had learned how to play the guitar and sing. I met Go and all kinds of stuff. And I just decided one day, we were at a restaurant, that I wanted to get paid to go out and sing at this place. It was a place in Philadelphia called Mallorca, which doesn't sound like a good reason of how I started my business effort. But it was weird because I started as a young kid there, and I learned that Armindo was kind enough to give a 13-year-old kid a shot to sing and play there at his restaurant. But it was interesting because I learned a lot. It sounds strange, but I learned a lot in dealing with people. I learned a lot about business. The owners there, I was kind of like their little mascot golden boy. They loved me. They taught me all kinds of stuff. They taught me about running the business. They taught me about P&L. They taught me on, you know, hiring employees. You know, I learned how to interact with all kinds of people. It was interesting. There was a really cool mix of people at that restaurant. It was a kind of high-end place still with business owners and Shyamalan there and doctors. And it really taught me how to interact with people. And at the end of the day, the reason I always think of that as my start in business is because all those important lessons of interacting, how to communicate, listening, and learning how to not only speak to people, but do so in a way that is memorable. You know, as a young entertainer, that was really important, because if I wasn't good at it, I remember seeing the other people that would go sing there. They never made much money. They would sit in the corner and play, and that was kind of it. But, you know, I'd grab my guitar, go table to table, talk to people, crack a joke, you know, and you know what? All that stuff hit me right in the wallet. You know, it was kind of my my introduction to really learning how to communicate, be a sales and really marketing professional, which at the end of the day, I am kind of a, what has made me successful is my ability to sell, interact, and create partnerships. And that's where it all started. So I was in that business for a long time. I had an entertainment company. I actually opened up my own independent wine distribution company before I could legally drink, which was really funny when I got pulled over by the police and I had a license to carry open containers, but I was 20 years old. Let me tell you, those were fun days.
Yeah.
But I learned how to be self-motivated, create all this. And then I had a really bad car accident. Somebody hit me from behind. I didn't walk for almost a year. I was like having all kinds of issues. And at the time, I was always like the anti-technology guy, which sounds weird coming from a person who's owned a couple AI companies, an app development company, works in a fintech, really a financial software company is what we amount to be. And while I was laid up, you know, I've always been a pretty aggressive reader. So I was just learning about different things. And I started learning about software. And at the time, this is like probably 2009-ish, something like that, 2009, 2010. And I love this idea because with wine, you know, you got to buy wine, sell it. But with software, you had to build it and then you could sell it and sell it and sell it and sell it. Now, while I had no idea, I literally in 2010 did not know how to send an email and I did not know what Save As was. And that's a real story. I'm not exaggerating. I am being literal. I didn't understand tech, but I understood margins. So it seemed like a cool idea. And I decided, you know what? I'm going to get into this and learn how to do this stuff, right? I'm going to get into the tech world and put that out there. And I started looking in and seeing my buddies that were coming out of colleges with ridiculous loans and getting $40,000 jobs, right? And I'm like, I don't know if that's how I want to do this because I was still making money with my businesses. So I decided I was going to get someone to hire me. So I was going to get paid to go learn about technology as, you know, be a sales rep or something. And turned out later, and I'll leave the names out of it, that the individual who gave me a shout wasn't the most forthright businessman in the world, but I'll be always thankful to the gentleman because he did give me an opportunity, you know, and I had no background for this. Yeah, I've owned business since I was a teenager successfully, but I didn't know how to save as, and I wanted to go work for a company. I literally didn't know how to send an email. So I put out a suit since no one would hire me. I'd sent literally hundreds of resumes. And I picked out a couple places that I thought, you know, this would be a good place for me to learn, small software companies, put on a suit, and just started showing up every day until somebody would give me an interview. And after weeks of me annoying people, this gentleman at the small ERP company came out, he was the owner, and he says, listen, you got to stop coming here. And I said, well, listen, you just got to give me an interview, you know, talk to me, and I'll stop bothering you. And he's like, well, listen, if I give you an interview, you're never coming back here, right? I said, well, it's going to be tough because you're going to give me a job and I start Monday. And I did. And I, you know, and the guy gave me a shot and I learned a lot about software. Within a few years, I was able to get myself into another tech company called Fiberlink. And it was a cool, you know, my entrepreneurial spirit never died. I ended up going from there, dropping off a business case on the CEO's desk, much to the chagrin of my manager at the time. But the CEO thought it was a good idea. And then ultimately let me start running and building a department in Latin America. We ended up exiting the IBM. I ran that program for them for a while. And, you know, it was a really great learning opportunity and really kind of the start of my career. Ultimately got into another company called SunGard Availability Services. Probably the most interesting job I've ever had in that respect. Learned about everything. Cybersecurity, colocation, cloud services, you know, migrations, penetration testing, disaster recovery, everything you could imagine. And it was the deepest education. And I'll always be particularly thankful to my sales leader there, Anthony Corona. God bless you, brother. He gave me all the mentorship. And I learned a lot about treating people and really with kindness and love first and investing in individuals, not just in numbers and other stuff. And that gentleman taught me a lot. I learned a lot there. And it really was kind of the beginning of my career, really, I think. And ultimately from there, I went to open up my own businesses. You know, got into tech, opened up an app company, AI companies. And my last AI company, I bumped into Jared, the CEO and founder of ProLife Payments. And we set up a partnership. My tech was driving leads to him, getting him going, you know, in exchange for ongoing commissions. But right when I heard about this, it was impactful to me, right? The idea that these major credit card providers and really merchant processors, you know, folks like the Squares and PayPals of the world, and not just them. I mean, almost all those big box technologies were not only supporters, but a lot of them were active investors in organizations like Planned Parenthood and profit from that. I had no idea, right? I had no idea. And as a Christian, the idea that my money was being used for things like that, when I really believe in life, I believe in helping mothers and saving children, quite the opposite of investing in what I would consider to be not the Lord's work, right? So I was inspired immediately. And Jared was on fire, man. And you know, he's telling me all this stuff and I'm losing my mind, like looking into it. And I told my wife, she was one of my founders. I'm like, this is my second AI company already. And AI is cool, but it ain't babysitting cool. You know what I mean? So, and I told her, if I can find a way to get out of this and move over here, I'd been studying with the intent to go into the ministry full time and take my private money, you know, from my companies and really have that run my ministry. I don't really want an offering plate. I want to be able to educate. people in the way of the Lord. And hopefully, if it gets large enough, to have orphanages that also provide not just the standard education, but you probably guessed it, you know, entrepreneurial skills, right? Apart from giving people the word of God, I think if you can give people the ability to be free financially, you know, I think that makes a big impact, right? If we can have an army of people who are educated in the Lord and aren't answering to a certain clock and have time to go and build something great, I feel like that can make an even bigger impact. So ultimately, I was able to come over here full time as in joined as a partner and owner and their chief mission outreach officer back in October. And it's been an amazing journey here, literally saving babies with every swipe. But yeah, that's how I got here, brother. That's how I got here.
I love it. And just the Pro-Life Havens has a really interesting mission. And so tell me, because I think another thing that's kind of neat about them is that there is a problem, even with current fintech at times, in basically stopping people from being able to go through commerce with others. And they'll say, well, if you don't believe like us, well, then we're shutting you. You're not going to have access to us. And so it's like this kind of weird, almost like pseudo-censorship sort of thing in a manner.
The canceling is getting crazy.
Yeah. So they're private organizations, so they can do that, but why do that? You know, why do we need to run businesses like that? So Pro-Life Havens, though, not only are you guys saving babies, but you're basically trying to be that sort of agnostic platform and be non-censorious, if you will, right?
No, you're right. I mean, we believe, so part of our mission is really it's protecting commerce and saving babies. Right? That literally is what we do.
That's the mission. Yep.
And in the world we're in right now, and everybody knows, you know, PayPal and not just them. Banks are canceling Christians all over the place. There's articles about it coming out constantly. These requirements being pushed for ESG, DEI, all that stuff is really against us. The reality is somebody has to be out here trying to fight that good fight and allow us to transact and grow within our community and do the good works that we want to do with the freedom to do so. You know, as though we were free Americans to have our opinions, our beliefs, and continue to transact our business the way we wish. And it's interesting, there's been such a heavy turn against Christians and frankly, Christian commerce, it's insane, right? Now, in fact, if you're pro-America, if you're a Christian, if you're buying Bibles, you're on lists nowadays. Right? These are things I never thought we would be talking about this year as though we were communist China, but we are. So that's what we've come out to do. You know, we're not out here canceling people. We're here to genuinely partner with people, help them with their businesses. And you know what's funny? People don't pay more to work with us. This has been a real awakening to me. A lot of, forgive me for saying it, but a lot of organizations slap a Jesus sticker on a mediocre and or subpar solution. And it's usually more expensive on top of it. Well, I don't think that's what Christ wants from us either. We talk about showing and putting the Lord on display in all the ways we can. It's not just about going to church or scooping soup into, you know, a bowl for a homeless individual. We can put Christ and the Lord on display everywhere, every day. And that includes in our work and what we do. And we believe wholeheartedly in this, that at the end of the day, we can do better working together, giving people a better choice, not just a choice, a better choice. You know, the technology we have is spectacular. We not only are helping mothers and saving babies, but you're not paying more and getting less. You're paying the same or less and getting more with our solutions. You know, we have these specialized solutions for folks where we're literally saving them. Listen, people don't know this. If you're using QuickBooks invoicing, you're paying 3.4, 3.5% on that. And you can't even do dual discounting, which means pass along credit card transaction fees and compliantly offer them a second free option to pay, like ACH. You can't do that in QuickBooks. Don't worry. We have an integration that doesn't change the workflow and does that. Listen, that saves people hundreds, if not thousands of dollars a month, just that change alone. So for us, we believe in creating something better for the marketplace, a better option. And we also partner with people. You remember that stuff we used to talk about? Service after the sale. You remember when people would answer the phone when you had we do those crazy things.
Who knew?
Who would have thought of that? Talking to your customers. But I think it's more than just the business. It's about in each way that we interact with our customers, we want to be better. We want to do the right thing. And we want to be putting that life of Christ through us on display in every way we can. And that includes hey, when one of your customers calls, answer and talk to them, help them. Try that with a PayPal, a Stripe, or a Square.
Yeah. I mean, PayPal's impossible. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
They'll send you to the FAQ page and tell you we believe in you, right?
And then put you on a list. Yeah. Well, and you know what's cool too, you know, and we haven't really talked about this, but one thing that we like to talk about at LCI, of course, we're unabashedly, unapologetically pro-life, of course. And even as it pertains to our strictly libertarian ideas, we think that, you know, abortion goes against the non-aggression principle. But one thing that's important to also realize is that in order to actually stop abortion, it's not just getting something passed at the legislative level. It's not just getting that Supreme Court, you know, reversal of Roe v. Wade and all that. I mean, those are good things. Yeah. But what we also have to be doing is offering life-affirming options at every step of the way, which does not require anything from the government to do. It requires effort on our parts. And that was something I feel like, you know, I've seen a few very particular companies that do this upon occasion, and Pro-Life Payments being the most recent that I've seen, and really proud of you guys for that. Offering those options that are kind of extra government at that point, you know, exterior from, such an important thing. And so, you know, I think that's one of the most compelling aspects of pro-life payments, at least from my point of view. And this is not a pro-life payments advertising campaign, but it is really cool to see what they're doing here.
This is the thing. Planned Murderhood gets funded by the U.S. government. Okay? No crisis pregnancy center is getting funded by them. So the reality is, I think it's easy for people to talk the talk, but they don't want to put their money where their mouth is.
Yeah.
We're not offering some shtick here and jacking up prices and then don't. That's not what we do. We're literally going to match your beat rates, but we donate 15% of our gross receivables, not profit, receivables. We are genuinely looking to become the world's largest pro-life funder. We want to become the platform that donates the most for this fight. And again, it's not just about, you know, we're not out there trying to berate women in front of a Planned Parenthood. We're not showing the love of Christ in that fashion. We do believe, however, in providing options, because I don't think most of these people wake up in the morning and think to themselves, Noah would be great. Let me go kill my baby. That's not what happens. Okay. These women genuinely feel ostracized. We talk about it all the time. You know, churches, you know, they don't want you to kill the baby, but let that girl show up when she's 16 and pregnant in church.
Yeah.
And then tell me how she's treated.
Yeah. Tell me how she feels then. Yeah.
I mean, it's true. So if we can't not only provide the funding, but we need to provide loving Christian care to these individuals. And that's the first and most important thing. So that's what we do. We actually provide that funding to organizations that do that. And they're not just doing the sonogram machines. They're actually helping people identify financial literacy courses for them. They're pushing them to specialized institutions that helps work with single mothers to get job training, job placement, right? So we're talking about solving a problem, not just treating symptoms. So
that's right.
You know, that's where we're at. And just actually, we're very close to releasing now peer-to-peer payments.
Mm-hmm.
So Venmo, we're coming for you, baby.
Hey, there we go.
That's the next one. Not Zelle's out there doing it. PayPal's doing it. Venmo's doing it. Cash App's doing it. Well, why don't we have a good choice?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Why don't we have an option? Well, that's coming down to, and God willing, within the next year or so, we're actually going to be a full banking institution as well for our community. And with the same mentality, right? Actually put our money where our mouth is. Don't just squawk about it or come up with a product, jack up the price and donate a couple percent. No, we're trying to really do this. And it really is a mission for us because we're not money motivated. I think that's why it's been going the way it has.
Yeah, I mean, it's provide a competitive product, make it a compelling value added proposition, do great service, and the money will follow at that point. That's a great thing.
And not the least of which, identifying amazing partners and people like yourself who are out here. Listen, we're all on the same mission.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're trying to put the Lord on display through our work, whether it's this ridiculously awesome podcast, the other work that you're doing on your own businesses, the way you just interact with people.
Yeah.
You know, I see it with you every time I talk. First day I talk to you and it's not even meant to be a plug. I don't know how to give an idle compliment. So just know what I'm saying. I mean, we're supposed to have like a 30-minute call. I think we're on a call for, I don't even remember how long. Maybe like an hour and a half?
Yeah, it was like 90 minutes. That was the first call. Yeah.
And we had nothing done, but I don't think we had 6 seconds of actual communication about business. But you know what? That's the point. It's about the community, the relationships we have. It's not just about the money. It's about identifying the right people, the right partners, and people so that we can grow together and make a larger impact.
Yeah.
And I think that we've been blessed to have folks like you that we've interacted with that really are helping us get to point B. And we're thankful for that. And I mean that beyond seriously. We are so thankful for even an opportunity to come on here and chat and talk to you. And we genuinely hope we're adding value. You know, that's really what we'd like to do.
It's, you know, a fun meta point to kind of make and to steal the show for 15 additional seconds here. Everybody that I interview on this show is just super interesting. And it has been extremely fun to interact with entrepreneurs, with marketers, with people in finance, people in investing. I mean, it's crazy just how many interesting people have been able to come on the show. So if we haven't gone back, folks, and listened to some of our older episodes, go back and just start from the beginning because it's really interesting. They're about 30 minutes each, so it doesn't take that long. It's fantastic. So,
well, I'll plug you for it. They are.
They're really fun.
And you have a lot of choices out there for podcasts and good shows you do. These are really cool. And you will pick up some really good golden nugget.
And these are your brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, it's so encouraging to see what people are doing. And it, I mean, I've got crazy projects going on right now. And I think Faith Ventures, just doing this has been encouraging to me in becoming better at what I do, which is exciting. Okay, that's enough of internal plugs here. That's our advertisement for today's show. But back to Arturo and his story, because this is so cool. You know, we're going to run out of time. We could probably talk for like 90 minutes just about all this, but we're not going to do that. We're going to keep it to closer to 30. Arturo, we've gone on a bunch of different things here. Undoubtedly, you have encountered a variety of different kinds of challenges in trying to accomplish what you're trying to accomplish, whether that's pro-life payments or your past businesses. Tell us a little bit about, give us like one or two instances or like one of them, the biggest challenges that you've had to face where your faith has come to bear and you've had to make difficult choices. And what has that been like for you, your family? How have you dealt with that?
Sure. You know, everybody who thinks that you start a business, things go well, and it turns into magic and puppies and roses, let me tell you, it's not true. And if you're not prepared to ruin your credit sometimes, don't be an entrepreneur. I'll tell you that right now. A little golden nugget for everybody here. But no, so I had a really difficult experience recently with one of my last companies I own. We found great success. We're making a ton of money. And I had major nefarious activity occur with one of the partners that literally led to me closing the business and going from making nearly $200,000 a month in less than 6 months to being flat broke, first time in my life, down to $2,700. And when I tell you, I understand coming back from nothing. And I had never been broke in my life. As I told you, I've had a little businesses since I was selling candy. So I've always been okay. And you know what? The true lesson for me there was learning as a Christian, it's easy to talk about sufferings and, you know, we want to pray for magic intervention from the Lord. But Paul's very clear about this. You know, Paul was told after he asked God three times to pull the thorn out of his side. And what did God tell him? He said, well, my grace is sufficient. My power is made perfect in your weakness. So the ability to endure things patiently in a godly manner without striking out and becoming cynical, without treating other people wrong, without becoming angry, without hating those individuals and trying to treat them with love. That to me was one of the best opportunities for me to grow and be transformed and let the life of Christ live through me that I've ever had. And probably the worst scenario that anyone could imagine in their life, going from crushing it to literally zero and having to start again from nothing. You know, that I think for somebody who doesn't have the faith and doesn't have the Lord, that might crush them. And most of the entrepreneurs I know that have had similar things, which by the way, most I've found have had issues like that. Most of them just packed it in and quit because they didn't have that faith to rely on. And I'm thankful that I was given that, what really could have been the end for my career in that respect, was actually, in my opinion, because of the grace of God, my best opportunity to put the Lord on display, join and understand those sufferings, and manage those in the most godly manner I could, to use that for my good, to allow God's strength to be perfected in my weakness. So I think that's probably, if there was ever a lesson, grace is sufficient, no matter what you're going through as an entrepreneur and frankly in life.
Wow. Okay. That's some heavy stuff.
Well, it gets tough sometimes. But here's the good news. That came to pass too. And here I am. So, you know, praise the Lord. Things are going great. But just remember, no matter what the trial and tribulations, nothing is too great. Hold steadfast. Do the right thing no matter what people are doing around you. And it will be hard sometimes, I promise. But you know what? God's grace is sufficient. It really is.
Well, that's really encouraging to hear, because I think sometimes it's difficult to even understand at times that when you are running a business and somebody with whom you're partnered with is beginning to exhibit that kind of nefarious quality, if you will, like dealing with that's got to be some of the worst. And man, that's really tough. But to be able to come out of that, you know, alive, if you will, very important. So that's really interesting to hear.
I appreciate it. You know, I think that's the stuff that everybody talks about, the good stuff and the good things all the time. And yes, life is amazing and things are great, but you have to remember God's with you there too.
Yeah.
And most importantly, when those times are tough. And listen, the good news in that story is life is great. Just a few years, I'm back on top and better than ever. And again, that ability to patiently endure things and continue doing the right things, I don't see another way. And I'm thankful for that.
Cool. Let me kind of shift into it. I'm going to kind of dovetail this back to some of the things we just talked about previously. One of the things I like to talk about here at Faith Ventures is the way in which we as Christian Science misunderstand operations in the market. We sometimes attach to it negative qualities that don't need to be, and ultimately misunderstand like kind of what markets are for, how we as Christians interact with them, and so on. And I'm wondering if there's some additional things that perhaps you've noticed, especially in being part of like fintech businesses in particular. What do you see there that Christians don't fully understand as to, and I think to kind of again, loop this back in, we've talked about the way in which we sometimes misunderstand the way in which groups like PayPal or payment processors and whatnot have power to shut you down and don't behave in appropriate ways. And also the way in which the Christians sometimes expect that when you do something like what Pro-Life Payments is doing, that, oh, we're just going to slap the Jesus sticker on and it all becomes better as a result or something to that effect. And so I'm wondering, with that as the backdrop, what else have you kind of seen potentially of where Christians kind of misunderstand what's going on around, in particular, what you're doing in the market and what have you learned to, you know, and help explain to them about stuff like that?
Well, I was really under the assumption that most Christians and Christian organizations, churches, nonprofits, I really thought, and this may have been innocent of me, that most of them were pro-life. I found that to not be that true. I'm actually finding the opposite. This kind of shows you the reality of living in a fallen world. Most of the Christian churches that we interact with, I've actually found are supporters of Planned Parenthood. I found that they are pro-choice or pro-abortion, really. And this was a surprise to me. So, you know, one thing I'll say to Christians is be vigilant and be aware of, you know, what's going on around you in your community, because what you do matters. Where you put your money does matter. Okay. It does matter. You can be part of the solution or you can be part of the problem. And oftentimes, unwittingly, we are part of the problem. I found this in a lot of my friends in the Catholic community. There's a big donor management system out there called Blackball. Okay. And tons of dioceses use them. Blackball is not doing the Lord's work, right? There's a lot of these technologies out there and companies that specifically target Christians that are taking your money and doing bad things, right? This isn't just true of the Squares and the PayPals of this world. This is true of nonprofit software. Yeah, I know. No one would have thought that, but it's true. I would say be a little diligent and actually research the values of companies you're working with. Now, is it possible to get 100% of that right in this world we live in? It's just not.
Nah.
Right. So it really is impossible. You know, you'd have to do everything from burning your iPhone to goodness knows what clothes you're wearing.
Yeah.
But there are areas that make greater impacts than others. And what you do with your money ultimately moves. Your biggest vote is your wallet. How you spend, what you're doing, we've seen it. So again, I'm not suggesting that people should be out there necessarily trying to identify every solution that they can and can't do. I realize that'd be a full-time job. But there are simple things we can do, like merchant processing, right? Mm-hmm. There's clothing stores, right? There's places you can go buy things. that you use everyday products. I'm actually releasing a store shortly that we're going to do the same things. We're going to have a bunch of home goods and baby products and stuff where we're going to donate. Automated things like that. Try to find the vendors that do align with you to the best of your abilities. And if you're selecting someone, at least take a look at their value system. And you know what? There may not be a choice, but if you looked, at least you did your due diligence. I think that's the biggest warning I can provide everybody. Because most of the time, it's not that we're doing these things purposefully. It's that it never crossed our mind that these organizations might be doing that. I don't know if that answered your question directly, brother.
I think it does. Well, I think that's wise words to kind of consider. And as we draw to a close here, I want to kind of give you kind of the final word as to like what other words of wisdom would you have for those who are coming up in the world, who are looking to either build a career or maybe make a change, or just really are looking to learn more about integrating faith in their business? And what kind of stuff would you have told a younger version of yourself, if you will?
I'll tell you, when I was younger and when you're a younger person, I think a lot of times you make those mistakes and you're not aware of the truth of this world. And I just wish I knew earlier that I could inject the life of Christ into all of my work, including business. These aren't disparate things. If you're limiting God to one area of your life, it's you with the problem, not God. And I think that's one of the biggest things that as Christians, we forget about all the time, whether it's what we're doing at Pro-Life Payments or it's the way you behave and interact with someone at a counter. You can and should allow Christ to live you in all of those moments, live through you in all those moments. And I wish I was more cognizant of that as a young man, but fortunately, I am now.
Yeah, awesome.
But I appreciate you, man. Norman, we are so thankful to you and for all the time here. I hope you guys get in contact with us. If you're not already listening to this fine gentleman, man, do so more often and check out this whole podcast. And if you want to contact us, I know, Norman, I think you'll post our information in the notes or something.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you have any other kind of websites you'd like to plug or you know, how can folks find you online? Obviously, we have prolifepayments.com and we'll have information in the show notes if you want to kind of be involved in some way with them. And yeah, anything else you'd like to send people to?
No, check us out at prolifepayments.com/life/Libertarian Christian Institute.
Hey,
we want to make sure that gentleman Gretz gets credit for having us here and raises more to do the great work they're doing as well. We'd love to have you. And if you go to the main website, just make sure you let us know that we heard about you here in this great platform and podcast. But thank you all. And God bless. Appreciate you.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And we appreciate you very much, Arturo. This has been Faith Ventures. We'll see you next time.